Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Morning, good morning, everyone, and good afternoon and evening, wherever you are listening. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and I'm here with Rick Sterling and Dr. Don on the phone, and this is indeed The Bible on Trial on March 7th. April 7, 2023, and we're delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us here on our program where we discuss the difference between what Christians already know as salvation and what is the truth about salvation, what the Christians already believe is happening as a prophetic as prophecy, and what is really happening in prophecy. And we have all sorts of good information for you today, and we're excited to be here. Our primary website is located at spiritoftruthministry.net, and there you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, and lots of good writing by Rick. We have a secondary website, our archived website, which is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SMM. That stands for Spirit of Truth Ministry, and you can go there to get all sorts of other good information, including, in case you're interested, an article that I wrote many, many years ago, way back, about what really is happening as far as Easter is concerned. So I will go ahead and find that, and I'll post it on our Facebook page, which is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. Father in heaven, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we honor your names. We honor you for fulfilling the promises that you have made to your kingdom. Teach us the truth about salvation and about prophecy and about what our jobs are going to be in the very near future when you finally make an appearance here on this earth. I thank you, Father, for putting your hedge of protection around us. Keep the evil ones from any contact with us. And thank you for opening our minds and our hearts to the truth. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good morning to our listening audience. Happy Good Friday.
You bet.
I'm looking forward to a good study.
Oh, and so are we. And good morning, Rick.
Hey, Dennis. Thank you. It's more challenging when you start getting old and things start wearing out.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to being able to make use of a med bed at some point in time so that I've always had to have vision correction, but now it's getting even more difficult with the corrected vision. If any of you have a question as to whether God is real, and if God is real, how do we know? is there some type of good evidence? And apart from a scientific understanding, a physics understanding of dynamics of the universe and architecture of creation, knowing that the intricate complexities from the micro to the macro scale could not have just all come together of its own accord.
By accident.
And in the last few studies, I have presented the idea. For me, it's more than an idea because I have settled it in my own mind, but to you, probably you had never heard it before, that the Holy Spirit is to the Father, God, as the woman was to the man, Adam. And that the woman God is referring to in Genesis 3:15 is not the woman that is the helpmate of the man, Adam, but the woman who is the helper of God, the Holy Spirit. And how not only do we see that woman in Genesis 3:15, where God informs the serpent that the woman's offspring and the offspring of the serpent will be enemies, mortal enemies of each other. And then in Revelation 12, we see the same two beings, the woman and the serpent. The serpent is described as a great red dragon. We know that the great red dragon is the same serpent that was in the garden, because we are told in Revelation 12 he is the ancient serpent, the devil and Satan. And who are her offspring? And who are the offspring of the serpent? And I shared that with you also. How in John 3, where the Son of God is talking to Nicodemus about kingdom of God, specifically about the kingdom of God, how you come to see it and how you come to enter it. You see it, and you are baptized by water, born of the water. And you enter it by being born from above, born of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on to explain to Nicodemus that the way that you prepare yourself, your soul, to be born of the Holy Spirit is through learning the truth. And that is why the devil, the dragon, the serpent, is conducting the war by trying to keep the truth from being made known to people in the world. This is called censorship. And we in the world today see censorship and attempts at censorship happening all over the world. And they do this censoring the way they explain it is they are keeping disinformation and misinformation from public access, when in fact the disinformation and the misinformation, the outright lies, are what we need to guard ourselves against. So how do you conduct a spiritual war? The devil knows exactly how to conduct a spiritual war. You keep the truth out of the public eye, and you teach lies as truth. And you start at a very young age. You start teaching lies in preschool, kindergarten, grade school. You start indoctrinating little children with very terrible information, like identity and control. Those who know about Abraham and his nephew Lot and where Lot chose to settle his family in the city of Sodom. There were five cities of the plain around the Dead Sea. And the character of those cities was evil. In fact, what they were promoting and practicing is exactly what the deep state Kabbalists are trying to force on the world today. God knew this, has known this from the very beginning, and he made it known to John when he was showing him the events that would take place in the end of days. He talked about two witnesses. Now, the two witnesses are part of a reality that we will not experience. But we would have experienced it if God did not have a kingdom on earth. And we find the description of what the earth would be like during that time. And we can see that the devil is in a desperate attempt to make this a worldwide I'm trying to think of the right descriptive word, but hell. I don't know what else to say. In Revelation chapter 11, and let's start with verse 9. Actually, let's start with verse 8. Their bodies, the two witnesses, their corpses, will lie in the main street of the great city known by the symbolic names Sodom and Egypt, in which their Lord was crucified. So we can pinpoint the great city, Babylon, by that last descriptive line, where their Lord was crucified. That narrows it down to one city on earth. And I've gone...
But Rick, there's lots and lots of people who do not believe.
Does that matter?
No, I know. But what
does
I mean
it matter?
They believe that everything revolves around Rome.
Well, that's the Adventist viewpoint. I don't know about the other Christians. The Adventists are the only ones who, because they have their false prophetess that they adhere to.
Yep.
So, as I have described the plan that the devil showed, his plan to bring everything under his authority and his control, and how his plan was thwarted, and he went into a desperate attempt to force the hell on earth that he thought that he would have, but he didn't. What we see being attempted in the world today is the grooming of children that includes surgical processes. Oh. And other horrific acts against children and even the unborn. And all of this is because these evil people serve the same God that is a small g God, that are nothing more than evil spiritual beings who defied their creator and attempted to affect this world to the place where God would have no claim to it anymore because of the evil state of the created beings. As I've explained before, God needed a kingdom. And it is not a kingdom that you can say, that someone can say, I'm in God's kingdom because I believe in God and I pray to God and I go to church. I worship God and I despise the devil. despising the devil is a good thing. But believing the lies of the devil is not. You can believe the lies. You can worship the lies. In the name of God, you can worship the lies. In the name of God, you can go to church and sing praises, most of which are praising through lies. You can do good works. Healing, helping, visiting. Good works. And still believe lies. God set up the priesthood in Israel to teach the truth, the law, and the devil got control of the priesthood. They became his offspring, just as the Son of God described to them, and it is recorded in John chapter 8, where they said they were offspring of Abraham. Then when he pointed out that couldn't be true, they said they were offspring of God, and he pointed out that that could not be true either, because they were plotting to kill him. Someone who had told them the truth. And that's what the truth elicits from those who are the offspring of the devil. When they hear someone proclaiming the truth, teaching the truth, explaining the truth, they want to shut them up as soon as they can, and the most effective way to shut someone up who refuses to shut up, to kill them. But what happens is one person who's telling the truth, if they're killed, there are 5 or 10 more to take their place. The devil has found that by killing those who tell the truth, only exponentially increase the numbers of those who start telling the truth. The Son of God said, why are you doing this? That it was because they were offspring of the devil, not God. But these were the spiritual leaders of Israel. These were the priests who served in the temple, who made the sacrifices, went through all of the motions of the priesthood. If the priests don't know the truth, how can the congregation know the truth? And the same is true today. If the pastors, the priests, the spiritual leaders of religious spiritual practices, if they don't know the truth, how are the members of their congregations going to know the truth? The devil has mastered the process of co-opting the souls of spiritual leaders, knowing that that is the tried and true way to keep the people from learning the truth, from hearing the truth, what they are taught. And in Christianity, what they are taught comes right out of the Bible, but what they are taught are lies. And as long as someone is believing in, practicing, or worshiping a lie, they're not in the kingdom. They cannot enter the kingdom until they have no lie in their mouth. And that's not my word. That comes right out of Revelation. Just turn over a page from Revelation 11 to Revelation 14. Starting with verse 1. Next in my vision, I saw Mount Zion, and standing on it, a lamb. A lamb who had with him 144,000 people, all with his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. I heard a sound coming out of the sky like the sound of the ocean or the roar of thunder. It seemed to be the sound of harpists playing their harps there in front of the throne. They were singing a new hymn. In the presence of the four animals and the elders, a hymn that could only be learned by the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the world. Sorry, my allergies are kicking up today. These are the ones who have kept pure and not been defiled with women. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They have been redeemed from amongst men to be the first fruits for God and the Lamb. They never allowed a lie to pass their lips, and no fault can be found in them. The 144,000 were a part of the other reality. But the qualities described here of the 144,000 are the qualities of those in the kingdom that is represented by that little stone in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2. No lie passes their lips. They are blameless. So what they are proclaiming is the truth. What those in the kingdom of God proclaim is the truth. You cannot enter the kingdom of God by faith. Faith will not get you past the door. You enter the kingdom of God by truth. When you know the truth will set you free. Free from what? free from slavery to lies. There's a quote I found online. It was a post by AwakeBot. I don't know who that is, but the quote is pertinent and worth consideration. Here it is. We are all here for a reason. Stop being a prisoner of your past and become the architect of your future. We all start out as prisoners, not in a literal cage with bars on it and a lock on the door. In fact, if you were to depict this prison that we are in, it is one in which the door is open. All you need to do is walk out, because our friends are in the prison, our parents, our grandparents were in the same prison. The prison seems like home. It seems like the safe place to be. Anything that would challenge that is immediately rejected, argued against, resisted. Consider this. When the Son of God, the earth, the last day with his disciples, and I've read this before, I haven't read it for a while, so I'll read it one more time. In Matthew chapter 28, when the disciples saw their master after the resurrection, they were fishing. He was on the shore. The disciples didn't know who the person was who was on the shore right away. And well, let's read it. Matthew 28, and we'll start with verse 16. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples set out for Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. When they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him, though some hesitated. Some hesitated? We're talking about the 11 disciples. They saw their master alive and breathing, and yet some were not sure that this was the same person. When you know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, you don't hesitate in a situation that is new to you or uncomfortable to you. And then he made this statement. It's called the Great Commission. That is verse 20 of Matthew 28. and teach them, the nations, to observe all the commands I gave you, and know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. So if you believe in God, and I'm sure you do, or you wouldn't be listening to this, then you know that God preserves his words, their words. And those words will be preserved as long as is needed until the purpose for which they were spoken is accomplished. Throughout all of the Christian churches, there is a different message that is being proclaimed, that the Son of God never spoke. The subjects never passed his lips. But when he left this earth, he commissioned his 11 disciples to continue his work. He promised them a helper, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, who would bring back to their memory what he taught them. What he taught them was what he told them that they needed to take to the world, the nations, Jews and Gentiles alike. Same message for the Gentiles as they heard him teach while he walked in among them. But what is being proclaimed in the Christian churches today is a gospel that is foreign to the truth, but has taken on the trappings of truth. Where did that come from? How did that originate? Gospel of love and faith and hope. Hope based in faith. It's smooth, but it has some roughness to it. No one will enter the kingdom of God by telling lies, by believing lies, by preaching and teaching lies. It has to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You see, if God didn't require that the people in his kingdom not only know the truth, but practice the truth and tell the truth and hold to the truth, he could have come a long time ago. But he didn't, because he didn't have a kingdom. And he would only have a kingdom when someone would wake up and realize the critical importance of knowing the truth and devote their study to discovering and learning the truth and sharing that with others. Text in Revelation 22. Start with verse 10. This too, he said to me, do not keep the prophecies in this book a secret, because the time is close. Meanwhile, until then, let the sinner go on sinning, and the unclean continue to be unclean. Let those who do good go on doing good, and those who are holy continue to be holy. Very soon now I shall be with you again. Very soon now I will be with you again. Bringing the reward to be given to every man according to what he deserves. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Happy are those who have washed their robes clean so that they will have the right to feed on the tree of life and can come through the gates into the city. These others must stay outside. So if you don't want to be outside, here's how you are inside. Dogs, fortune tellers, fornicators, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone of false speech and false life. Do you think that it is important to learn the truth, to know the truth, and to live the truth and worship the truth? Because all of these qualities that keep you out of the city are the product of lies. Remember how God masterfully tied his statement in Genesis chapter 3. And I will make you enemies of each other. You, the serpent, and the woman, and your offspring and her offspring will crush your head. You will bruise or strike its heel. What is it? What is it? Now, I know in your Bible, the translation says his. I looked it up for verification, and it can mean his, her, or it. And the translators of the Jerusalem Bible chose the best word was it. What is it? It is the kingdom of God. The firstborn son of the woman, the firstborn of the woman. So the son of God. He's the king. He has the key of David. He unlocked the kingdom for all those who, like him, triumphed over lies, deceit, ridicule, misrepresentation. He triumphed over all of that and held to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He did everything that his father told him to do, and then he was put to death by his father in the place of the man and the woman who had defied God, disobeyed him, believed the lie of the serpent, and acted on it. And because through his death, he made the kingdom of God available to all those who, like him, will triumph through the truth, by the truth, and for the truth, and will help others see the way to enter the kingdom, the way through the words of the Son of God, so that they too can develop from not knowing what righteousness is to being what righteousness is, learning the truth. The woman, the Holy Spirit, develops us in her like a fetus embryo develop in the mother's womb. It's not a physical development, it's a spiritual development. And then those who complete the process of development, which is this sanctification process, are born again, born from above. Their spirit has changed from what it was to what it will always be. A spirit full of truth and light. The birth pains of the woman are the prophecies that we can see being fulfilled. The great city Babylon, like Sodom and Egypt, these people who promote what we see being promoted in the world today are doing so on the orders of their God, who is not a god at all, but a spiritual being, and spiritual beings who stood in defiance to their creator and tried to take what was not theirs. But they're trying to make it happen. Those who are trying to subdue the world under their control are doing so on the specific orders from these ancient gods, small g, the gods of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Sumer, Decapolis, Celts. In Africa, South America, Central America, North America, and Asia. The gods of the ancients are the gods of Egypt and the world. So the city is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, but it is the place where their Lord was crucified. That city is Jerusalem. And Israel was to be the center of the world, the seat of the dragon, the beast. It was the head that was fatally wounded, but the fatal wound was healed by the Balfour Declaration. Can you not see how the plan of the evil one is working? Can you not see how the plan of God, God Almighty, God our Father and our Mother and our Brother, can you not see both of them in process right now? And can you not see that the kingdom of God has already triumphed over the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of Satan? And what that kingdom, the kingdom of Satan, the dragon, is trying to do in desperation before it is totally gone. I have heard people say that, well, the white hats, the people who are aligned, the leaders who are aligned against the deep state cabal, the globalists, the WEF, the trilateralists, the Council on Foreign Relations, the EU, the WHO, all of these, that they are losing. They have lost. But maybe the world will have 1,000 years of peace and prosperity and safety, and then along will come another evil being, maybe worse than the last. But that's thinking outside of God. Because what God has said, this is the one and only time there will be evil. That when evil is destroyed, evil will be gone for eternity. And we will not only live in a world where evil will never again come and exist and have control, but in a universe. It won't pop up somewhere else. We are living in the last days of evil, and evil will never return. We have won because the people have willed it so. And just as it's described in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, the stone, which represents the kingdom that God will have at the end of days, the time of the feet of the image, that it strikes the image at its feet and the whole image is crushed and crumbled and turns into fine dust. And that stone that struck the image will absorb all the kingdoms, the nations, into itself while the wind blows the dust. Evil, the wicked, both spiritual and flesh, away, never to be seen, heard from, or experienced again. And the stone absorbs all nations, people, until it fills the whole earth. These are the end of days. I think these are the end of days. These are the days of Elijah.
Wow, Rick, that was really good. Thank you, and thank you all for listening today. I have posted a number of things on our Facebook page regarding Easter, if you'd like to take a look at those. And we encourage you to join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. Pacific time for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy day today, a good Friday, and we'll see you all tomorrow. So long for now.